evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Fight for Our Freedom Radio. And I'm your host, Bad Baby. And tonight we have with us Bob Fletcher from Bob Fletcher's Investigations.com. And we are going to hear his compelling story of what he had experienced throughout his life that took him down the rabbit hole to find out all about what our government's doing and Nubaru. Welcome to the show, Bob. How are you this evening?
I'm okay. Hanging in there. Like I say, it's not as late where I am. I'm over here on the West Coast. And I guess
you know what? I'll stay up late because I just got the feeling the West Coast is going to break off and fall down into the ocean.
Oh, thanks a lot, but I'm afraid you might be right. Actually, though, it depends on how close are you to the real East Coast in terms of your location.
Well, I am in Michigan, and I'm over at the base of Lake Huron. And
okay, well, you're close enough to the water so that you will get washed away the same time I do, so I don't feel bad about that.
Okay.
We'll be even, right? You just be the East Coast representation trying to tread water as it comes in, and I'll be on the west side doing the same thing.
Yeah, well, I figure when the planet starts reeling and rocking, I'll get my giant wave off of Lake Huron.
Yeah, right. And unfortunately, where I'm located, if I don't get it from the coast itself, I'm in Idaho. If I don't get it from the coast, I'm extraordinarily close to Yellowstone. And, of course, we have even some more new upsetting information about Yellowstone that I will briefly get into. But if you wanted to, I will do a very, very abbreviated background for some of your particular listeners who may, in fact, not know who I am.
Okay.
To do a real good background would take a couple of hours, so we don't want to do that. But I was, back in the 80s, I've always been an entrepreneur. I've been in, had several businesses of my own. And additionally, as a matter of fact, you would be interested in this, I was heavily involved at the executive level in the music industry for several years. And I know you have an interest in that, obviously, in terms of, actually, I was a promotion manager for MCA Records, handling the southeast part of the United States for MCA Records, which, of course, is the biggest recording company in the world. And I was in charge of doing the promotions and publicity and artist relations for MCA for a couple of years, and had five different offices underneath of my direction, and did such things as introduced Elton John to the United States. I was on the road with a group called The Who, and of course this is going way back ahead of a lot of people's time, so to speak, but that was what I did in my younger years, and was profusely involved with the music industry. But I had one of my businesses I had in the early 80s. I was manufacturing toys out of Atlanta, Georgia, and I had opportunity to merge with what appeared to be a very solvent corporation that imported and distribution across the United States for goods, products, and a lot of novelty-type products into, like, the 7-Eleven convenience stores. And that's basically what I was doing and selling and manufacturing my toys. And a company owned by a gentleman, he came across my path in New York City at a big marketing company. He wanted to merge, and I merged my company with his company. And he was in Atlanta, and I was in Atlanta. And so it was really convenient, et cetera, on the outside. But lo and behold, to my shock, after being involved with him for a couple of, well, actually only about a month or two, I started meeting military generals in my toy company. This fellow was bringing in different people to introduce me to them. And one thing led to another, and the final bottom line was that this guy was, in fact, a supplier of weapons for all of the small wars around the entire globe. His job was for, and he was directly with, the Central Intelligence and the National Security Agency of the United States. And he was a fellow with his friends, his cohorts and business associates worldwide were the people that when the White House wanted, when it was covertly needed to supply weapons into a war area someplace, usually one of the wars that we had started, like we are in Iraq and Iran today, he was supplying the weapons for all of those types of small wars around the globe. And he attempted to recruit myself to become a courier to function with his company, which was called Vista Distribution USA. And I turned him down. He ended up never paying me properly on the contracted deals that we had. And when I started to take legal action, just basically should have been a simple contractual problem of go to court and get paid on the contracts that we had signed. And of course, his people being the ones that had defaulted, obviously. But the bottom line was the White House actually stepped in and interrupted any possible legal actions that we were going to take or we were in the process of taking. So basically, I was never paid and I was taken advantage of directly and had witnessed over a period of about 6 months the total inside internal operations of an international arms supply operation out of the Central Intelligence and the National Security Council. At that very time, which was 1987, the stuff had just started to hit the fan. For those of you who are old enough that remember the Iran-Contra investigations, I ended up being a federal witness in those inquiries. And the people with whom I had been dealing with out of my toy company, and I have to remember that it was a toy manufacturing company, and by the way, the intent is rather simple. Their intent was to use my company and about five other corporations that they had taken over during a short period of time, actually right in front of my eyes, was to utilize those companies and my company as a covert front, giving them an ongoing reason to travel to different countries. And in my case, I would make their interest was to having myself make travel to different nations wherever they were dealing with. And the idea would be I would be just going to buy toys or sell toys or talk to people about manufacturing toys, et cetera, et cetera. But in reality, I would be carrying information on the behalf of the covert arms operations that they were running. And to get back to my problem, of course, never got paid, tried to sue them. They classified my toy company as a national security threat, top secret, and we could not pursue any legal actions and with that part of it. So, and of course, obviously, it blew my mind because I was a businessman and I had been doing all sorts of things, but I never even crossed my mind that this kind of thing was going on at the highest levels of our government, and that they were in fact taking advantage of citizens like myself all over the country. I mean, you know, and actually all over the world. they ended up stealing not only my company, but I know another company specifically, which was a baseball cap manufacturing company, but they also took $13 million they stole from a guy out of Texas who had an oil company, and they were going to carry out some operations in Russia and utilizing in Azerbaijan and some of these areas, some of the old Russian oil wells, and doing two things. They were supplying weapons to the Armenians and the Azerbaijans to fight a war between those two countries, and they were supplying the weapons for both sides to achieve their political goals, and had taken advantage of a guy out of California with a small oil company, and they stole $13 million in equipment from that guy and actually transported it into the old Russian oil fields. And again, all of these things were being done strictly as front operations for the bottom line of supplying weapons. So what happened to Bob Fletcher was, I ended up being a witness, and then I would have other senators and congressmen that were doing investigations on different major problems, the few of them that may have been considered to be honest, would get a hold of me, and they would say, "Hey, Bob, you know, do you know, were any of these people over here involved with this and this and this and this?" And I would say, "Oh, well, wait a minute, yeah, this guy was, or they did this, or I was aware of that problem, or I was aware of this." So one thing led to another, and I became full-time chasing corrupted persons in government for the last 30 years since 1985. And so that's what brought me up and brings me up to today. I'd actually been involved directly with more than 8, possibly as many as 10 major congressional inquiries, and had done work for and did witnessing and provided evidence and documentation to Senator John Kerry, who's presently the Secretary of State, for his investigations that were connecting drugs into the highest levels of our government, obviously the CIA, one of the biggest drug operations on the face of the earth, coming right out of the White House. Additionally, I was working with Sonny Bono for about a year, putting together a major investigation on with his people on his behalf, looking into the same thing, drugs connected into literally the White House. And he was actually murdered on the top of the ski slopes 15 days before we were opening a congressional inquiry that was primarily my material that I had supplied Sonny with. So been involved in an awful lot of it. And I want to shift gears, and which comes around to my last inquiry, my major investigation that has really set me back personally, psychologically and emotionally and everything else, I guess. And that is the discovery of the fact that the mysterious Planet X, or Nibiru, it's called Nibiru or Planet X, whatever you want to call it, the 12th planet, is apparently on its way back in to make a close pass to Earth in a fairly short period of time. And I will let you know, I don't know if you want to take a breather here for a second or two. If you do, let me know.
Well, no, we just carry on. I do have a couple questions.
Sure, go for it.
This front operation for these toys,
intelligence community
watches and stuff at 7-Eleven. Now, if we go in and buy something at 7-Eleven, are we still funding these people?
No. And I don't even want to. There's nothing from in that direction. Nothing has to do with anything. None of those people knew anything about it. The particular company I'm talking about was, the name was Vista Distribution USA, Inc. They were actually incorporated in several states. Their involvement with supplying miscellaneous novelty items like mine, my toy, and the toys that I made, and baseball hats that I supplied, which were those ones people remember had the little animal faces on the front of the hats. Those were that was originally my concept. We were manufacturing those, and a little thing called a spring animal, which is an animal puppet, a hand puppet for children. Well, actually, for anybody, but it's looks like it's a real live fur animal, and that was my primary product. The point is that the companies like mine, that the Vista Company, and the man's name was Gary Best, was the primary character involved here. All right, he is a Central Intelligence and/or National Security operative. His job, full time, was again, like I said, filling orders, including helicopters and airplanes and missiles, as well as small arms, and also even military training on the behalf of the United States government national security, period. That was what he did. All of the small companies like myself and the other four or five that he bought to use as fronts, they knew nothing about it. I didn't know anything about it. I certainly wouldn't have gotten involved with some screwball that's supplying weapons to kill people all around the world. On the behalf of Uncle Sam's covert operations and the political degenerate criminals that are running the nation and have been for years and will run it up until the time that there's not a United States existing any longer. But those small companies like mine, none of those people, when they got involved with Gary Best and Vista Arms Operation, they knew nothing about it until they were already bought in, until they were already bought, taken over, etc. And then in some cases, like in my case, they would try to recruit persons to become full-time employees with the covert operations. And, of course, I told them to take a fast hike and a long walk on a short pier. I wasn't going to get involved. Some of these people, like one poor guy that I mentioned that had his entire oil company stolen from him under the same pretense that my company was stolen, and that was on the basis to expand his company. There was plenty of money available to make my little toy company, which was, by the way, rather successful, but to make it five times bigger, the company's money was certainly available. That was not their interest. Their interest was simply to have a good reason for the use of whatever the company was. Mm-hmm. Another company that was taken over and bought out by Gary Best about 90 days before the famous Murrah building explosion in Oklahoma City, which he was apparently involved with in terms of supplying something, and I'm not sure whether it was internal explosion material or whatever exactly. I'm not positive, but Gary Best went into Oklahoma City about 90 days before that explosion took place and bought a hamburger company. And again, it's always simply to use it, whatever the companies that he was involved with, they were used strictly for covert secret front operations. And he bought a hamburger company 1.5 miles away from the federal building in Oklahoma, 90 days before it was blown up. He was in and out a few times with that company while he was still actually supplying weapons and training mercenaries in Russia. And he would fly back and forth on a weekly basis a couple of times to do whatever he did. And the only reason Mr. Best would have been in Oklahoma City, 90 days, 1.5 miles from where the explosion was because he was involved with it.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Well, you know, every time they pull a false flag on us, they're all involved in it.
Yeah, well, and again, see, these guys, and to give you to complete the circle, and then I need to get off of this subject because otherwise you just go around and
question, if I can get you to answer this one. After you found out that they were using your company to laundry money and that, then you went to Sonny was murdered. Is that what made you go down the rabbit hole to find out where all the missing money
was?
Well,
it was strictly, you know, remember now, this is a long time ago. That's 30 years ago, all right, when that took place. This is 1985, 87 period of time.
Uh-huh.
The investigations on Congress, floor of the Senate and the Congress, was 1987. And like I say, I ended up being a federal witness in that whole mess. And all of those, you have to understand that people have to really get a good handle on something. Again, I never knew anything about it. It was totally non-connected to politics, particularly criminal politics, which we now have so profuse in the United States. The bottom line is that these people have total control, and all of the congressional investigations, and like I say, I was directly involved with probably 8 of them, maybe even more, maybe 10, or peripherally involved with 10 or even 12 total together. I was even hired by Noriega's lawyers, the dictator Manuel Noriega, after he was arrested. I was even hired by his lawyers to do a particular report that connected George Bush directly to Noriega's drug operations. But the bottom line is there's so much control there that all of those Senate and congressional inquiries, that they like to make it appear like they're really getting in and cutting to the chase and going after people and they're going to really do this and really do that in terms of investigating, that's complete fraudulent garbage.
Yeah, they're good actors.
It's totally set up, they just have total control of everything. And the biggest thing is the ability to just take a rubber stamp out on reports that come in relative to serious criminal activities, whether it's money fraud, theft, assassinations, murders, overthrow of government, false flag bombing operations, and all of those. All they do is pull out that rubber stamp that says top secret.
Yep.
And stamp it, end of story. You can't talk to, you can't bring anybody in and subpoena somebody to talk about something if they have stamped it top secret. It's the end of the story. And another thing people have to realize is that for the most part, most all senators and congressmen have absolutely no high-level security clearances, most of them. So they do not know what's going on. And they cannot find out because they're just told, you are not cleared, get out of our offices. Don't even ask the question. Don't even breach it. Don't even bring up a question about this guy or that guy. Don't even mention that fellow's name in my office because you are not cleared to even ask the question. So go back to your congressional office and write some stupid law that has nothing to do with anything. And they just tell them to get out of their face. So, this is a reality. You know, people think, well, we got a guy and I... my family's always voted for this people, or my family and I've always voted Republican or Democrat or whatever, and they're trying to do this and that, and I got good representation. That's garbage, because if you're good and you're honest and you really get up there and see what's going on and start pushing doors open to find out what's happening, like Sonny Bono did when he got up there, he was freaked out. When he got to Washington, Sonny couldn't believe it. He was overwhelmed with the corruption that he saw and realized that what he didn't see was probably 10 times more than what he had found out. And when he went over my material and material supplied by a few other people that were witnesses, it made him crazy. He instantly started working, and we worked for about 8 months to a year trying to put together a congressional inquiry on the drug connections of our intelligence community into and the White House, along with and supplying and being one of the biggest importers of corrupted narcotics into the United States. And
I know a multimillionaire that they stole his estate also because he was exposing them. Is Mr. Rodney Stitch, are you familiar with him?
What's his last name?
Rodney Stitch.
Rodney Stitch? Oh, certainly, I know Rodney. Sure.
Yes. Yeah, I've interviewed Rodney quite a few times.
Yes,
and,
right.
And, you know, that's just exactly what they do to you.
Yeah, Rodney actually came along, I was introduced to Rodney a year or two after my exposure, you know, but, yeah, Rodney did a lot of good investigative work, had a good book out, as a matter of fact, quite a few years ago.
I have 17 books out. I've got a couple
his first,
and signed.
Right. His first book, I think, that I'm referring to was about 85, 87, something like that,
mm-hmm.
when he came out with that. But, yes, I do. I know Rodney, and they handle everybody a little bit differently, you know. There's been three attempts to kill me since I started doing this back in the back in 87. And two of them while I was actually dealing with in the Iran-Contra mess in the 87, I guess it was, 87, 89, that period of time. But I don't even want to bother getting into that. Let's move forward if we can.
Okay.
So you get a good idea. The bottom line is that I'm not a reporter. I have been a physical person physically in the middle of these covert operations. I've seen how they work. The people that were the partners in this with Gary Best with these supplying of the weapons were literally the generals that ran the original the war in Vietnam in the 60s. They were the guys that ran Air America. People that have seen the motion picture, it's called Air America, several years ago was out. Who was it that starred in that? Was the Australian actor that ran? I can't think of his name anyhow, off the top of my head right now. But the bottom line is, the Air America drug operations and the weapons in and the drugs out, which is what they've done for years after the Vietnam War. Those generals, military generals, were literally guys that were in my toy factory, and they were the same people that were supplying the weapons, helicopters, Hellfire missiles, cutting the deals literally out of my toy factory. Selling $13 million aircraft out of my toy factory. It's a money situation, obviously, in multi-millions of dollars for years and years, and it's just over everybody's head. They can't even imagine the things that I had learned and seen during that period of time. So I have produced and created what amounts to being now it's a DVDs, but previously it was done on VHS. But I had done about eight or nine presentations that actually were and have been explaining these unbelievable major criminal activities that I've been involved with in terms of investigations and things that I have covered over the last 30 years. And about 3 years ago, somebody had contacted me, and I had been, since I had been seriously injured in an attempt on my life back about 17 years ago in Los Angeles while I was living down there, when I was involved with Sonny Bono and completing a report for him on the drugs, narcotics, and those people connected to the White House. And actually, only a few months before they murdered Sonny on the ski slopes and told everybody he had an accident and ran into a tree while skiing. The reality was he was pistol whipped to death, probably took two people to do it. They dragged him up against a tree, left him there, and that was the end of that. They had to take care of the people that were necessary to do the cover for it, and that was the end of it. All they had to do was go on the news and say poor Sonny had run into a tree and killed himself. Now, what people didn't know, that his people contacted me about 15 days, 10 days to 15 days before they murdered him, and called me from Washington and said they finally had the investigation ready to go. After the Christmas holidays, they contacted me something like the 20th of December, and they said wanted to make sure that I was ready to get back into Washington and to assist with the investigation, and they wanted to give me a heads up that it was all set, ready to go. And 15 days after Sonny got back from the Christmas holiday, which would have been a couple of weeks, they were actually leaving for the holiday at that time. They said as soon as Sonny got back, we were going to have the investigation, and was I ready to go back to Washington? I, of course, said yes, and it was great. Let's do it. We've been working on it for 8-9 months or whatever. It was ready to go, and a couple of days later, I found out Sonny had been killed. So that was the end of that. The only way they could have stopped that investigation into corruption and drug smuggling that went straight to the highest levels of our government, the president's office itself, the only way that they could stop that investigation at that time was to kill Sonny, because it was Sonny's job, Sonny's investigation, his project, and he was the key guy. Now, had they permitted it to even start, and that would have been in about 15, maybe 20 days on the outside from the time that I last had contact with them, if they had permitted to even begin and open up with the gavel, then it would have continued, even if Sonny was killed at that time, see?
Right.
So they had to stop it by killing Sonny, and that's exactly what they did.
Right.
So it never started, and that was the end of it. So let me get back to where we're at. 3 years ago, I get this couple people that said, you know, they said, Bob, there's really a lot of money disappearing out of government over the last 5-10 years. And I said, well, of course, you know, we've chased millions of dollars on a regular basis being fraudulently misdirected and bank frauds and all of that stuff. They do that. The people that are in the position to dip into our money out there out of Washington, they steal it on a regular basis to build a mansion for themselves in Tahiti, maybe a nice place down in Panama on the beach that costs $3 or $4 million. So they rip off some money from one place or another. So that kind of stuff goes on a regular basis. So I said, well, you know, what are you talking about? And they said, how about billions and trillions? And I said, you know, I said, you can't even money launder $1 trillion. You know, how do you go about, you know, it's one thing to do, take $25 million and put it in a foreign bank that's bad money coming from a drug operation. put it in a foreign bank, then use it as a collateral guarantee and borrow legitimate $25 million back here in Texas to put into your oil well operation and money launder $25 million. That's easy. But you can't do that with $1 trillion. So what are you talking about? So I started looking into it. And the bottom line was simply this. And to be set back and really shocked, for example, we had the fella named Donald Rumsfeld a few years back, sat before the United States Congress at an investigation, an inquiry, and he said, I found he was in charge of the Defense Department at that time, and he said, we lost $2.3 trillion out of our budget over the last few years. And the congressman that didn't know anything about anything, that's most of them, said, wait, what did you say? And he said, we have lost $2.3 trillion that we can't find from the defense budget. Well, of course, that upset everybody. They said, oh, well, we got to look into that. What are you talking about? You don't know where it is or anything. And he said, well, you know, we can't find it, and it's been over a period of time, and da-da-da-da-da. But that was the amount of money. By the way, that's $5,000 for every man, woman, and child in the United States of America. That's how much money that represents.
Wow.
And he sat in front of the Congress and said, we can't find it. Now, guess what? The day that he did that, the day that he announced that formally before the United States Congress, was the day before the 9/11 false flag event. So what are we talking about? Well, one thing we're talking about is you never heard anything about it again. It was, you know, gone, done, finished deal. There was nothing in the United States more important for the next year than the 9/11 event that took place the day after Rumsfeld announced that they lost $2.3 trillion. Now, what else did they lose? I started looking into it, and I realized from senators and congressmen that they had been trying, several of them, some of the good guys, had been trying to get an audit on the gold from Fort Knox, trying to get a legitimate inventory on the gold in Fort Knox. And no one could do that. The people that are in charge of the gold at Fort Knox, the Federal Reserve, a lot of people still don't realize this, the Federal Reserve has nothing to do with the United States government. They are the ones that oversee the gold. They're the ones that set the values. They're the ones that print the money, the ones that put together the lending for the money that runs the government and the United States, major industry and business, et cetera, et cetera. But they are a private consortium of banks. They are nothing to do with the government. The word Federal Reserve means nothing more than Federal Express. That also has nothing to do with the government, all right? So it's a private corporation of a handful of corrupted major banking entities, and they were set up and structured many years ago in a manner such that the Congress and the Senate and anyone else in a supervisory position in the government can go to you know where, because they're not allowed to even look at the books of the Federal Reserve. So go away. And that's what they were told when they were asked trying to get an audit of the gold. Then in 2010, and 8, 9, and 10, about five major nations, banking entities in Europe, came forward and said, we have tons of gold that we own in the Federal Reserve System, in your banks at Fort Knox, and we want a few tons of it back. Because remember, the banking was going down the toilet in 2008, 9, and 10. These nations needed their money back to stabilize their own money. They were told they could not have it. They were told that if they would come back in 2020, that they could probably get a few tons and some information about the how much is there. Now, country, Germany, had 1,500 tons of gold in the United States Fort Knox. All right? The bad news is that that gold is also gone. There is no gold in Fort Knox. That's why nobody gets an audit. Now, when I say it's gone, there may be a little bit left, enough to show somebody through a window, but they're not going to do that either. The bottom line is all the gold is gone.
I heard they had fake gold there.
Well, whether they got, why would they have fake gold?
Because
in other words, wait a minute. Here, so let me explain that my point real quick there. Okay, if nobody sees it, why would they even have anything?
But what
now,
you're saying
there,
is if you that you could look at a few bars through.
No, yeah, sure, you could look at a few bars, you know, but you wouldn't even know what it was. And see, and you would not. You're correct, at least to the point that you would not know if it was fake or not. Now,
right.
What you're referring to was that some people got some bars a few a couple of years back, one of the a major bank in France or somebody, in Geneva, Switzerland or someplace. They got a few bars sent to them that theoretically were certified gold coming out of the Fort Knox, and when they cut into it, it was tungsten underneath a small layer of gold on the outside.
Yeah.
That's what you're referring to. That was a reality. That did happen. Nobody ever got caught for it. Nothing ever happened with it, so forget about it. And it doesn't make any difference. I mean, if they never show it to anybody, well, so what? What's the point?
The
it could be.
We want it back, and then they're told no,
well,
you can't have it.
Well, they're not going to get it. They were just told go away. Now, after a year of squabbling back in 2008 or 10, that period of time, a couple of the countries did get a few tons eventually, and that was strictly done to shut them up and get them out of their hair. You had a guy that was in charge of the International Monetary Fund out of Geneva or wherever he was, France, a multi-billionaire on his own. And the guy, now go and repeat that, in charge of the International Monetary Fund of the banks of Europe, flew over in one of his own airplanes, a 727 or 47 or whatever it would have been, a $20 million aircraft, flew over here, went to Washington, and said the same thing the congressman said. He said, at the International Monetary Fund of Europe wants to look at the gold because we don't believe it's there. And they told him to go away. It was none of his business. They had no right to even talk about it. And again, they go back to their original founding structure of the whole Federal Reserve System. So they told him to go away. Well, he said, listen, you know, we own tons of that gold, and we want it. We want some of it. We want to see it. We want to know it's there, you know. And he says, I don't believe you. I think you're lying to me, all right? And he was really got in their face. This was in, you know, meetings at the banking elite in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So finally they still just said, no, get on your plane and get the heck out of here, all right? So he said, well, listen, if the International Monetary Funds in Europe does not get the ability to go in and look at our gold and retrieve some of it, I'm going before the United Nations as the head of the IMF, and I'm going to have the United Nations pick up our cause and going to force you through the UN to show us our gold. And he says, I give you a week. He went out to the airport, get on his airplane, and the New York Police Department grabbed him off of his plane, arrested him for sexually raping and chasing his maid around the bedroom in his $1,500 a day room in New York City.
I remember that story.
Okay, people remember it.
Yeah,
but what they don't know,
I didn't think that he did it either, because
the rest of the story was,
yeah,
it was phony.
I mean, if he wanted sex so badly, he could hire somebody.
Yeah, give me a break.
Around.
Here you got a billionaire, and he's going to chase some maid around his room, you know, waving his bath towel at her or something.
That's
all right.
Exactly how they frame people.
That's okay, so what happens to this poor guy? All right, they say, here's the deal. We'll drop these charges. You get on your airplane and never come back to America. You're out of here. And shut your mouth up about the gold. They put him back on his plane. He got off. He left. He lost his position as the president of the IMF, International Monetary Funds of Europe. He became shunned. And he was even in line to become the emperor, the president of France or Switzerland, I don't remember where it was. He was actually in line to become president of the nation, and now he's in the garbage someplace, just counting his money. I don't know what he does, but he's gone. End of story. All right. So get back to my situation. So I find out the bottom line is there is and has been all this money vanishing, and so the next question is. Like I said earlier, you know, you can't just, this kind of money over a period of 10, 20 years has been swindled and vanished. You can't money launder that. What do you do with that? What's going on? See, this is way beyond the normal thievery of multiple millions or billions being, you know, boogered around from one country to another and by electronic check, you know, money transfers. This is way over that. So somebody finally came back to me and said, hey, Bob, remember in the 1990s when somebody that worked with me back then, he said, remember back in the 90s we received photographs and pictures and even videotapes of underground facilities that were being built all over the United States. And I remembered it because I myself, in 1994, the week that the Denver airport opened, I had already had the stories about the underground facilities at the airport, and the Denver airport became functioning, I believe it was 94 or 95. I went in the first week or so that it was opened, and I literally got down underneath, and I saw the underground tunnels and facilities that were being put in at that time. And by the way, they're still doing it today.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, all right. So the bottom line was, yes, I knew what he was talking about, and I had personal photographs and films, that type of thing, videotapes at that time. So one thing led to another, and then somebody else came to me and said, what do you know about Nibiru? Planet X. And, you know, and I said, nothing at all. Not anything at all. I'd heard about it, I'd read about it. I said, but I've been up to, for like 25 years, 30 years, I've been chasing these other things, you know, tangible murder, assassinations, wars, theft of delivery of weapons, and all this fraudulent crap coming out of Washington. I certainly had never looked at Planet X or Nibiru. And so I started looking into that and put out feelers to find out and looking into what that meant. What the heck was Nibiru? You know, and what was the best information on it? And that was like on my right hand of my inquiry. And on the left hand, I was continuing to look and see what was going on worldwide, not just in America, as it related to underground facilities. So in the bottom line, what I discovered in summary is this, and that is that every major nation on the globe has for 10 to 30 years been creating underground survival facilities for themselves. In 2010, the Russians put out a mandate, and they said by 2014, they would have 5,000 underground facilities for themselves and some of their people. Not all of them are big, not all of them are fancy, but they did, in a short period of time, finish creating 5,000 underground facilities in Russia. The Red Chinese have been working on it. They have built and expanded on what was old underground facilities, tunnels that used to be used by their warlords as far as 500 years ago. And they've redone some of those and in the meantime built as many as 1,000 new, big, well-done underground facilities for themselves. The United States has created about 103 underground facilities. Now I'm going to take a sip of a glass of water here for just a second, and I'll go from there. If you got any questions you want to ask, think.
You know, when you were talking about the money laundering, I have a comment. One of the things that I had read a few years back was that they pretended that they were a grocery store, and they were having all these Muslim women bring in the coupons, and then they were turning the coupons in to get the money to laundry weapons for ISIS, and that was one of the ways they were doing it. And they were saying in this article that they were getting like $20,000 to $30,000 a month through coupons.
Well, and that may or may not be, but that's nothing. That's toilet paper money. I mean, that's absolutely nothing. And I mean, no disrespect to the amount involved. You know, that's just that's a joke. In other words, when I'm talking money laundering now, again, I got to go back to it. If you're talking about, let's say, you know, $5 billion in a week. You know, how would you do that?
See? Well, yeah, because didn't you say they were buying planes and helicopters?
Well, that doesn't know. But what are you talking about? That's money. No. You're missing the point, I think. The point is, the covert funding, there's three forms of covert funding in the government. You know, one is the money that's actually called black operations, covert money that none of the senators and the congressmen, with the exception of a handful of them, know what they're for. Okay,
right.
In terms of representatives, all right, and therefore, maybe they're for legitimate covert operations. I mean, that's what we call them. We do that. Okay, but the covert operations that's illegitimate is when you ship $10 million worth of weapons into a country and with that same airplane load it with $10 million worth of narcotics, fly it back to the United States Air Force bases and offload them at the air base and convert it into $50 million on the streets in Los Angeles. That's called dirty covert money, all right? And then when you take one legitimate operation where they've said, okay, $1 billion is going to go into this, all right, whatever it is, doesn't make any difference, and then they take $500 million out, fraudulently do the paperwork and steal $500 million and then put it someplace else, all right? And originally, like I said, originally when I was looking in this stuff, I would find where somebody was stealing $2 million or $6 million or $4 million, and stealing it and building a fancy home in France, with the money, okay? And that's nickels and dimes.
Yeah.
$30,000 for some crumb operation generating money to buy a handful of hand grenades or machine guns for some illegal operation. That's nothing. That's pennies. We're talking billions and trillions. So, again, I got bothered because
you
can't. See,
you
excuse me, go ahead.
With what's going to happen with Planet Nibiru coming at us, and you know the devastation that's going to happen to this planet with the earthquakes and the volcanoes going off and that the earth crust is going to pull loose.
Right.
Do you really think that those underground bunkers are going to survive this, in your opinion?
Probably some small percentage.
But
you have to remember now. So you got to put yourself in their shoes. People that have the ability to do what has been done, okay, steal the money and create possible survival locations for themselves, a limited few, all right? They've done it with your money, and if you were a crook, if you were a criminal guy, and you were aware that the Planet X was on its way back in to circle around one more time, go around the sun, and then travel back into the far reaches of space for another couple thousand years or whatever, 500 years or 5,000, it doesn't make any difference. When it comes around, it comes around. But if you were aware of it and you were in their position to steal the money and secretly hide a limited number of people, would you try to do it, or would you just let yourself die? So, obviously, they don't care. It's not their money. They just stole it from you, from every poor jerk that's been paying income tax their entire life. They don't care. We don't even know the legitimate blacks projects. You don't even know about the X-37 space plane. You don't know anything about it. See? Nobody knows anything about it. But we've had it for years and progressively making it better and better, and it's a small version of the shuttle that can be put out into the far reaches of outer space, stay up there for over a year, and then come back down. And it's exactly like the shuttle, but it's a smaller version, all right? And that's a drop in the bucket, but it's totally secret. Nobody knows, so to speak, nobody knows much about it. And when you see it, when you find it on something, maybe on a computer, somebody released some information on the computer, by the time you find out about it, they've had it for 20 years, you know? As far as I'm concerned, the idea that according to Ben Rich, the gentleman that ran Skunk Works, which was the above top secret spacecraft operations for 25 years, just before he died on his deathbed, he said, "We've been flying around the outer stars for years, and you'll never know about it," is what he said, period. He says it's so secret, above secret, and wrapped up in a secret that the chances of the general public ever finding out about it is like zero. And he was the guy that ran the most top secret space vehicle operation on the face of the Earth. Now, let's put that aside, because what happened all of a sudden with these people for years trying to create the New World Order and take over the entire world, which they actually have, but they just haven't announced it, all right? The New World Order. All of a sudden, they found out in about 1983 when they sent, for the first time, an infrared telescope out to the farthest reaches of our solar system. The first time was done in 83, and it sent back pictures. And there it was, Planet X. They informed President Reagan and George Bush, who actually was the president at that time anyhow, they informed them that, hey, there it is. This was in 83, just a couple of years before the Iran-Contra and before I got into this mess. And they said, hey, there it is, and it's there. And our people said, it's coming back, it's going to swing back by, and it's going to be coming back not in 100 years, but in 25 years or so. And that's when all the big movement, many things took place at that time. They changed the space programs. They changed NASA. They interrupted what they were doing with the regular NASA programs. They privatized all the space programs so that no longer is there any government agency obligated to answer a freedom of information request because it was privatized. They privatized the UFOs. The person that has to be contacted officially in the United States, if somebody sees, has a real good UFO report, is a man called Robert Bigelow. And he owns one of the big space program, space companies that is actually making space platforms and that type of thing for the covert government. But it's a private enterprise. And he is the person that gets all of the first reports on UFOs in the United States. Then they go to wherever they go and hide them away, you know, whatever. Now, let me get back to what we're talking about here, Nibiru. So I got into reading, of course, Sitchin's books, information about the fellow that had deciphered 20,000, well, he deciphered a couple thousand out of 25,000 clay tablets done by the Sumerians 4,000 years ago. And they clearly explained, like a diary in clay tablets, 4,000 years old, about Nibiru and about the planet and what it does. And that it's up there and it's got about four moons and it's in a huge, long, elaborate orbit. And it comes back around. He originally had figured 3,600 years. Deciphering what he was looking at. That may or may not be accurate, but there's a lot of other material now that has been discovered by people that have spent their entire lives, entire 25, 30 years of their lives, tracking this thing. And I've gone over most all of it, and I have no question in my mind that it is, in fact, a reality, and that we are about, in a short period of time, we're going to have Nibiru coming back around. And that is what originally caused the floods, Noah's floods. And, of course, many other things in the Bible. All are described in the Bible, the passing of this thing, zipping around the sun, and then causing all kinds of havoc due to the electronics of it, the gravitational pull, the planet itself has been calculated to be about 5 to 7 times the size of Earth, and passes between the Earth and the Sun when it does pass. Actually, it's technically, I guess that's not accurate, but what it does, to try to make this as clear as I can, actually goes around the Sun, and then we will travel through the tail of it, going around our regular transit around the sun, and then we will go through it a second time on the other side in about 150 days after the first time we go through it. It'll take about 155 days, and we will go through it a second time, and it will be headed back out into the far reaches of our solar system by the time we pass through the tail the second time. And again, it's be when Nibiru has already gone around behind the sun and is headed back out to the far reaches of the solar system. Now, recently, and by the way, I want, for whomever is interested, I have literally a 4-hour complete presentation on DVD that explains every bit and piece to this and connects all of the dots. And it's a double DVD. It's two DVDs, 4 hours each. It's more information than you could ever imagine, and I cover everything from the politics and the financing with to live films and pictures of the underground facilities, including the ones in China, and including, by the way, a few years ago, I think it was finished in 2012, the United States, along with other nations, gotten together and they created what is called the food, it's actually called the Seed Vault, S-E-E-D, Seed Vault. It contains every possible growing plant that is on the face of the earth. Most all of them are in the Seed Vault with a full intent. And by the way, it's into the side of a granite mountain, and it's done with the intent to preserve the seeds so that when Nibiru or the event equal to Nibiru takes place and destroys all growing living things on the face of the earth, the Seed Vault has been created. You can go on the computer, simply put in Seed Vault, and it'll come up big as day, and it'll explain how many seeds they have and where it is and all the rest of that. On my DVD, which is available from my website, and I'm also give folks an address. Grab a pencil and a pen. I'll give you an address if you want to write down where you can reach me if you're not inclined to go through the computer, if you want a catalog of what we've got available, all of my investigations and the Nibiru. I'll give everybody that address in a couple of minutes to grab a pen and piece of paper there. And
yeah, that'd be great, Bob, because I do have quite a few people that just call in on the phone and they don't have a computer.
Right, I understand that. And I was surprised. I, like most people, hadn't even thought about it. And then a little while back, it dawned on me that there was a good handful of people that either don't have the computer or they don't want to put their information out or whatever that might be through the system.
Yeah.
So if you want to contact me, now the DVD for Nibiru is $24.95, and we pay for the shipping of both discs. You can send cash, check, or money order if you're inclined to. Let me give you an address. It's bobfletcherinvestigations.com. That's the regular, would be the computer address. If you want to write to me, write to Bob Fletcher, Post Office Box 216, Bayview, B-A-Y-V-I-E-W, Bayview, Idaho, 83803. That's Box 216, Bayview, Idaho, 83803. And you can, if you want to just get a catalog, just telling you you'd like to see all the rest of the investigations. If you want to just order the Nibiru DVD, you can just send $24.95 and we'll get it out to you right away. Now, let me get back to some of the really amazing stuff that I ended up discovering. I got into the astronomy part and the science and all of that, and the historic, the Chinese emperors completely logged this stuff in when it went around the last time. They actually logged it in. The Bible, the biblical writings describe exactly what happened when the Nibiru passed around back maybe the second time or whatever it was. But that was, of course, when Noah's floods took place. And it totally describes everything that will take place in the future when this thing comes around. And one of the first things, of course, is going to be the fact that all of our satellites are going to get fried ahead of time with this thing. They're going to get banged apart by residue from the tail of this thing with all the space junk it's dragging around behind it. And by the way, people don't realize see if you equate this to Halley's Comet, which is a 75-year regular orbit. You can almost set your calendar with it. Give or take a day or two, it comes around 75 years. The tail of that, which is only a big frozen snowball, would be the best way to describe the comet, Halley's Comet. But when it comes around, the tail on the comet, on Halley's Comet, is 24 million miles long. There's another comet that came around a while back, was not even known about. Then it was discovered, and it came around. It's called the Hale-Bopp Comet. And that one we didn't even know about, and then all of a sudden it showed up a few years ago and came in, same as Halley's, a little bit bigger, came around, a little bit closer actually, went around the sun and back out like Halley's Comet. But that one is on a 4,200-year orbit. They did the math on it. That's when it's going to come back again. So when people told me, originally some people said, oh, you're talking maybe 3,000-year comet, I mean a 3,000-year orbit of Nibiru coming around. That's ridiculous. That's too long. It wouldn't be out there. It would fly off into outer space, or it would do this or it would do that before coming back. See, but that's wrong, quite obviously, since the Hale-Bopp Comet was discovered, lo and behold, to be 4,200 years, that's whatever it amounts to, 600 years longer than the Nibiru orbit. So that threw that idea in the garbage real quick. Now, let's see what's been happening, what's been taking place, and what is the idea. When the elite found out what was happening, they, like I said, they expanded, and the highest levels of governments around the world started doing underground hideouts for themselves, for the wealthiest. All right, people ask me, you know, how big are these underground facilities? Well, several of them. We have one that one particular one I'm aware of that will hold 10,000 people, and for a long period of time. They have been putting freeze-dried survival foods into 103 locations in the United States for 20 years. They've been really socking it in. They build these mostly by using gigantic drills. By the way, all of these are photographically on film or on still film, still pictures. All of this is in my DVD on it, everything I'm talking about, including the Chinese. The ones in China, one in Russia, as a matter of fact, there's one particular location that's been zeroed in on that will hold 60,000 people underground. That's a primary singular survival location for the Russians. The Red Chinese have facilities so large, survival underground facilities so large, that they are storing partial fleets of aircraft and battleships and submarines under the ground. They are, as a matter of fact, again, we have photographs of these. Chinese have thousands. They are said to have also hiding in their underground facilities 3,000 intercontinental ballistic missiles in a couple of the underground locations. There's something else you have to worry about, and that is what's actually been on the news in the last 2 days. And that's the concern with an entire military base airport location in the middle of the Pacific Ocean being created by the Red Chinese. They've been working on it for a few years. It is now finished well enough and big enough. This is mind-boggling. This is big enough to land on the airstrips that are already finished on this location. They can land any aircraft that's been made by man. So it's big. And now here comes the amazing part. They have been literally dredging the ocean and have built this entire Army, Navy, Air base, submarine base there as well, on what used to be a coral reef. Just a coral reef. They've taken it over. It's not originally property of the Red Chinese, but they have taken it over and built an entire submarine and air base on the top of what was originally a reef, just a coral reef. And they now are warning our aircraft to do not fly over it or they will shoot us down. And this is a report on CBS 2 days ago on television. So what they've got in mind mixed with what they've got underground in their underground facilities, I don't know. But it's rather scary stuff. Now, trying to think of just try to hit on some of the very most important before we run out of time. Oh, here you go. This is included in my DVD as well, is the fact that I discovered, checking out through the scientific community, that the planets, all nine planets, are heating up. And they started a few years back being recognized that the chemical structure on the surface of all of the different planets out there, starting with Pluto coming inward, started heating up and changing its temperature. They are also changing the surface storms on those planets that have storms. They are having entire graphic external changes on the crust of the planets. And again, starting not from inside, like from the sun out, but starting from the outside coming inward, the variations in chemical, physical changes on the outside of all of the planets, that's taking place. What else is taking place on Earth? This is already happening now, right? Miami Beach, a year ago, realized that every day when the high tide comes in Miami Beach, the ocean on high tide goes in 5 to 6 blocks into the city.
Yeah, I saw that on the news.
All right, now I used to live down here. I have a son that still lives there with his family. The Miami ended up having to put millions of dollars of water pumps into the ground around the city of Miami Beach to prevent the city's businesses from being destroyed on high tide every day. So that's a done thing. That's new. So now what does that mean? Well, it simply means that the ocean has already risen high enough to be causing that in Miami Beach. The elevation of the ocean is because glaciers, and all of this is in my DVD as well, glaciers are melting, both caps, the south and the north, are melting, but it's melting from underground. Most of the melting is taking place underneath. Now, some of it in other places, like in Australia and what have you, Iceland, in Iceland, it's visibly melting 3 times quicker every summer season in the last couple of years than it used to. Now, what's also taking place, and I put this in, now I finished, my DVD was first available just at the beginning of the year, that's a couple of months back, when we first made it available, finished editing it and made it available at that time. In the DVD, I predicted that the winter weather for last winter going back there was going to be the worst that it had ever been. That was literally in the DVD in April a year ago. And I said that we're going to end up the winter for 2014, that winter was going to be extraordinary, and obviously it was. The northeast part of the United States was wiped out. The entire weather, the normal weather for the globe is never going to be the same again. It's already being affected by Nibiru.
Look what's going on in Texas.
And Texas.
I think it was 2 days ago it snowed in Nebraska.
Right. Well, how about this? It was 68 in the South Pole about a month ago. 68 degrees. Today, as we speak, 300 miles off of the coast of Oregon, there's a large volcano that has been erupting for a couple of months. It's completely changing the temperature of the water, which is going to cause a permanent change in the weather there. We literally could have tropical storms develop off of the coast of Oregon because of the temperature increase of the ocean. So you have an entire volcanic eruption taking place as we speak. The increase in meteor-type falling shooting stars, all of those have increased, and they will increase around the globe. Now, this is a long time, so to speak, before Nibiru is in our backyard. But it's already causing the effect.
Now, what do you think, Bob, about all the pictures that are showing up on Facebook where people are taking pictures of...
Most all of them are incorrect, period. I have a tremendous number, and I know it's all best-case situation and all that. And I'm going to explain something real important here in just a couple of minutes, too, related to what we're talking about.
Okay.
But the most of them are something, but it's, you know, and most of them, by the way, are just lens flares.
I've seen a lot of lens flare, but I do see some that look pretty darn real.
Yeah, well, compared to what? Here's the point. I'm teasing you a little bit there. But here's the point. Okay.
That's true compared to what?
It's infrared. It's not visible to normal vision. Okay. It's an infrared planet. We just now, and this is interesting now, because I talked. Again, all of this is also very much explained on the in the DVD. But the point is that the even our best telescopes on Earth were no good in terms of actually seeing it until 1983, when it was an infrared telescope sent to the outer reaches of our solar system.
Mm-hmm.
Then they saw it. All right. Yet they just discovered, and when I say just, I'm saying since I shipped the very first of these back the first of the year, okay, the first of the DVDs, they have discovered a minimum of 5 completely invisible infrared planets and have announced it via NASA. NASA has admitted to seeing and finally locating as many as 5 gigantic infrared planets with 2 or 3 moons going around it, and that's literally has been only in the last few months. And again, you can go, and I could probably tell you the best way, but if you go even on Google, and let me just see real quick if I give you an idea. I tell you what, if people that have the computers available to them, just go on Google and Google astronomers discover invisible infrared planet. Just put that in. Or discovery of infrared planet. And that's all you have to put. Punch it up to do a search, and you'll find artist conception of it and the whole ball of wax. They actually have named it You could, as a matter of fact, here, let me give you this, is even better. If you put in, let's see, NASA Kepler telescope discovers, and then put HD, that's Henry David 7924. Henry David 7924. Don't put Henry David, put HD. HD 7924, planet discovered. Put that in, and you'll have an entire admission for the first time in my lifetime that they found and admitted to finding a planet. And this one, by the way, is said to be 9.2 times the size of Earth, orbiting and with a couple of little planets going around it, all of that, okay? Here's the point. Whether this is Nibiru itself, which I don't think it is, but this is the explanation of why people cannot see Nibiru, and they will not see it until it's close enough to reflect light from our own sun. Okay? Now, when here, according to people that have really, that are astronomers, and I am not, I'm dealing with people that have been doing this for years, and have done the math and all the rest of that for years and years. The belief is, not only scientifically and astronomically, but also fitting into historic scriptures by the hundreds, going back to the Chinese emperors of 10,050 as a date, and going back through Bible, the biblical descriptions of when this planet came around and blocked the sun, did an eclipse of the sun, and then moved off again. All of that put together, and the math with these guys that have studied this for years, they say that that it always comes during March and April, a period of would equate biblically to the time of Passover, March and April, and that it would be first visually seen in the sky in December of the year that it comes back. It will be seen as a star. It will progressively get bigger and bigger, and then December, January, February, and then March and April will be when it will be the closest to going around the sun, and that has apparently always been when it has been written scripturally by not only the biblical reports and others, including even the Egyptian scribes and the ancient emperors of China, that they called it the visiting planet, and they called it the flaming dragon. They literally had named it and watched it and wrote down as it passed through the sky. They actually did it like week by month and week by week by week. So these are not just, and you got to remember now, if somebody was doing this as an astronomer for the Chinese emperor, if they did something wrong and didn't even describe it properly, they just cut their heads off. I mean, these guys are, this is not graffiti. This is not stuff where somebody's just making up a joke to fool the emperor or scare their friends. Not some stupid thing some idiot might put up on a website laughing because nobody knows who he even is. It's not that kind of a thing. This is not a hoax. This stuff goes back 2,000 years, and they weren't fooling around. When they wrote that they saw this thing and completely described what happens to the earth and what happened to the water, they didn't understand it, but they saw it, and they described it the best they could. And when you put that together with present-day information and calculus analysis of exactly who, what, when, and where, all right, when you do that and put it all together, and then, again, we'll go back to the crooked politicians, the guys that have stolen the money and built hideouts for a limited few. Why are they doing that? Why are they putting the foodstuffs into the underground facilities for next week? See, they're not putting it in for a five-year plan down the road, 5 years or 10 years. They're seeing to it that this stuff was in there last month. They were sure that they were, if they needed to go in underground, that it was done along, you know, this year, last year.
Yeah,
right?
I saw a video of quite a few Walmart trucks and Pepsi and Coke and I think it was Myers and Kroger's. It was like a convoy, and somebody followed them, and they went to a military base with all that.
Yeah, I have all of that literally on live film and in pictures in the DVD. So in the double DVD that we have, we have all of it. Not only the American stuff, but again, like I said, even the Chinese, whatever. I'll tell you what, if people don't get this DVD and go over it, you're making a mistake, period. Now, let me get back to the politics, which is interesting for a couple of reasons, the politics of what's going on. If you were... See, the bad guys, and I refer to that's our government. And by the way, it's not all of them. But unfortunately, there's such a deep hold, such a control out of Washington, that the few people that are really honest, like Sonny Bono was, they killed him. Or they threaten people, they threaten their families, they tell them to just shut up. Don't say anything. If you talk about this, we're going to send your grandchildren back to you in a poly bag. So these, you know, it's hard to be honest and be in Washington for a much period of time. Okay, so here's the deal. I want everybody to think. Everybody's listening to this. Just think about this now. If you were an honest guy, person, and you were the president of the United States, and you found out, your scientists came back and said, hey, this thing's going to be coming back in 20 years. Okay, so you have your meeting with all of your people, your Defense Department. Even if you were honest now, and you sit there and you say, what do we do about the public? When do we tell the public? How do we tell the public? Can we tell the public? All right, and the answer to all of that is you can't. No, you cannot at any time tell the people of the globe on the face of the earth that this is coming. End of story. It cannot be told because it would cause havoc and insanity across the entire face of the globe, period. Regardless of whether you said, hey, it's coming next year, or it's coming next month, or it's coming in 5 years, you absolutely cannot do it. So they sit back in their offices, in their boardroom, their meeting rooms, all right, and they say, well, you know, what are we going to do? And they say, well, one thing is we got to start building underground facilities for the few of us that we select are going to live through this, if anybody can live through it. And so that's what they did. Then the second part is getting back to at some point in time, some December, they're going to start, there'll be 100,000 amateur astronomers that will start seeing it because it's going to be close enough to start reflecting and it'll appear like a star. And by the way, it's one big item, probably 5-7 times the size of Earth, with about 4 or 5 moons running around it, and then, of course, the tail behind it of space debris and garbage and meteorite-type rocks dragging along behind this thing at the same time. All right? Now, they say, well, what are we going to do? And they say, well, here's one thing. We can never let, especially now we have internet, you can't let the general practicing astronomer amateurs start reporting. Hey, there's a star up there. You can see it next to this and next to that. It's coming in. It's getting bigger every week, and it's coming in. It's obviously getting bigger, so something's going on. They can't allow it. So what they're going to have to do, this is important, what's going to happen is they are going to have to declare martial law in the United States, and actually it'll have to end up being pretty much a worldwide thing. The Russians will have to take care of their people. The Chinese have to take care of theirs. They're going to all have to do some type of a martial law. And it will not be related to Nibiru at all. Just pretend that doesn't even exist, because it's not going to have anything to do with that. It's going to be a major, either a legitimate military concern with us locking horns with Russia or Red China, legitimately, and that's why that stupid island and a few other things become concerns, and 3,000 missiles that they think are actually stored inside the Red Chinese hideaways underground. But it's going to have to either be a military concern, a terrorist event. They got ISIS. We've got ISIS that they've permitted to take over almost all of the desert nations of the world, for crying out loud. ISIS is doing a real number, whether you like it or not, or believe or even understand it. You know, they're serious bunch of screwballs over there. All right, now you have either ISIS terrorist events, a legitimate war action. Now, you have to understand something. Right now, we are locking horns with the Red Chinese as of CBS News 2 days ago. They told our airplane to get away or they would shoot them down, flying over the open sea. We have conflict with Russia. They've been coming in, taking over, and doing whatever they want to. Putin, he could care less, doing whatever he wants to. Now, so it could be a military problem with Putin, Russia, Red Chinese, a synthetic or a real terrorist event. By the way, it would be 3 or 4 cities in the United States having a serious event of terrorism big enough. If it happens within a week or two or 3 or 4 cities, the United States average citizen will love the idea of having martial law to protect them, all right? And or the other point is it potentially could be an outbreak of Ebola or some other chemical biological problem. Now, maybe it would be chemical biological problem mixed with the terrorism. Maybe that would be the terrorism. It doesn't have to be a blown-up building like 9/11. It could be Ebola and or some other thing introduced in 7 or 8 different places, and everybody in America would say, oh, my God, thank God, they're going to put the troops on the streets. The point is this. They must have total control the best they can with martial law in place a few months before people look up and start reporting the strange star in the sky getting bigger every night. So they've got to have that accomplished. So what does that mean? One thing is, the good part is that if you know, if you are aware of what I'm telling you now, and you have it under your belt, when they come up and they do a My Fellow American thing, we are having problems with this or problems with that, or we've just had this or we've just had that, or it looks like we're going to have to do this with our troops and that with our troops, and we are going to have to do a temporary martial law and bring troops into the street corners of the major cities. When they announce that, mark your calendar, because within a short period of time, they're going to start seeing that star in the sky headed in towards going around the sun. And again, the only good thing about it is that you will know that that's what it's about and won't have a darn thing to do with anything else. Now, the way things are going on a week-to-week basis today in the globe, they got a lot of stuff that's going to real easily convince the average citizen that we need martial law. I mean, it's a mess. Red Chinese, Russia, the ISIS, and then God only knows three or four things. Now, any of it can be completely a false flag, can be totally 100% bogus, lie, put together, phony thing, which they have done to us before, because I am 100% positive that the 9/11 event was a false flag, done, carried out by covert persons from the United States.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm just convinced of that.
Yeah, that's what my next show is on.
Okay, well, I wasn't aware of that, but that's the bottom line as far as I'm concerned. And there's a lot of reasons. I won't even get into that. I'm going to just leave that lie as it is. Now, let me tell people about some things now that you don't know about, all right, possibly, most likely don't. There is one possibility. Basically, see, there's no way to stop this. If, in fact, Nibiru is coming back in, as I believe it is after studying everything, all the things that come together. See, if somebody could come to me from Washington, D.C., and show me and you and everybody else what they're doing with these underground facilities. Why are they created? Why are they filled with survival food? And could explain, why did they build the seed vault? Why did the Russians and the Red Chinese do the same thing? Dig in underneath the mountain, go into the granite mountains, go underground. Why did they build all those things? Why are they doing that? Why are they putting away battleships and spacecraft and airplanes and food and et cetera, et cetera? Why are they doing that if, in fact, it's not what I've come across, if it's not, in fact, the realistic incoming of Nibiru? See, if somebody could convince me of that, I'd shut up, I'd apologize, and I'd get off of the air. But, there's no way. So you can't make sense out of it. When you put all of it together, if you sat down with the head of the Intelligence Committee in Washington, D.C., who probably, you know, who would be a person that would know, you know, and showed all this stuff to him and said, explain that, explain this, go to the next section, explain that, why are you doing that, why are we doing that, how come we can't look at the gold? If the gold's still there, why can't we see it? Why can't Germany get their money? They got 1,500 tons of it. Why can't they get any of it? Where is it? You see, the cost factor for these underground facilities, again, there's about 103 in America. And by the way, they include, and I've got you know, the pictures on all of this, they include, these facilities are so big, they're 18-wheeler trucks go side by side and cross at intersections under the ground. They have mag levitation trains that travel at 500 miles an hour underground between states, between other underground facilities.
I understand you met Phil Snyder.
I know Phil Snyder. I knew Phil Snyder.
Yes.
Phil Snyder was a friend. Phil, matter of fact, I was with Phil, last time I was with him was 60 days before he was murdered. And Phil gave me some of his personal books and sat with my wife and I, had dinner, and said, they're going to kill me. I'm not even going to be around for very long.
I watched every single one of his videos, and when I was watching him do his presentations, that was my thoughts, that they were gonna kill him. And when I heard he died, I knew that it was them.
Yeah, he literally sat with me. He sat down with me and my spouse, and last time, like I said, maybe 30 days before he was killed or something like that. He sat down with me and he says, you know, I have a problem with what I'm presenting, because what I'm presenting is so extraordinarily far out. He said, I just started doing this a couple months, whatever it was. He hadn't been doing speaking engagements for long at all. And he said, you've been doing it for several years. He said, what do you suggest I leave out of my presentation, or increase or expand my presentation so that people would understand it more easily? He said, because I know I'm losing so much of my audience because they think this is crazy. And,
yeah.
And unfortunately, I said to him, I said, well, you know, I don't know. I think you really need to just keep doing what you're doing and don't worry about it. Eventually, people will understand, because there will be other people who will come forward, et cetera, et cetera. And at that time, as a matter of fact, he said, I have some books. He even gave me some books that belonged to his father when he was an engineer for Hitler back in Germany. I have them sitting in here on my desk, a couple of his books right in front of me now. But he gave them to me at that time, and he said, I'm not going to need these much longer because they're going to kill me. And they did. He was dead, like I say, within a couple of months or a month or whatever it was of our meeting.
Well, he
by
was
the way,
telling it like it is. He was actually putting it out there that he was one of the engineers that was drilling these tunnels.
Oh, yeah. He did. He worked on 13 of the tunnels himself. But the bottom line is, in our DVD, I have live footage, films, and including, of course, still shots. But as a matter of fact, we have some pretty good pictures on my website. If you go to BobFletcherInvestigations.com and look on the photograph side of it, I think it's... I think we have it labeled as photos or images or something. But I have a handful of, a couple of great pictures of the 18-wheelers underground. The facilities, the reason I mention that, the facilities that are big are so big. They're entire, like a town underground in some locations. They're just mind-boggling. And they're connected. I've had truck drivers told me that they made deliveries in one place and then were instructed to drive, and they drove 800 miles underground and then came back out and surfaced and go to pick something else up to make a delivery. There are some of the facilities are specifically designed for growing foodstuffs beneath the ground. They are connected with tunnels. Railroad cars, trains pull in to these facilities and offload. They're gigantic. But that's where the money went, folks. You know, you don't build these for $1.95. So
yeah.
When you start saying, where does $1 trillion, or even, you know, where does $14 billion disappear to? Well, we can show you photographs of some of the places where it took that kind of money to build. Period. End of story. And it's for the limited few. Nobody out here is going to get any tickets to get in underground. And it's all I can say is pay attention. All of these crazy weather situations, I mentioned to you earlier, just before we went on the air, there's another... two earthquakes in the Solomon Islands only a few hours ago, 6.8. They're anticipating possibility of more. They apparently did not generate tsunamis or tsunami warnings, but I'm not sure. It could be that where it happened, that in fact they don't have the warning devices set up for tsunamis, but we have to, that's part of this, what they call the ring of fire, you know, a combination of earthquakes and volcanoes. The volcanoes, people don't realize, I indicated in the in our DVD, I said, be watching, because earthquakes are going to increase, volcanoes are going to increase, and all of this crazy weather, even entire weather patterns, are going to change. And they are already doing that, folks. And the there's an earthquake 400 miles off. I don't know if I mentioned this before. 400, 300 miles off the coast of Oregon that is erupting now. That's going to change. It is, I think I mentioned, it's already going to change the weather patterns there. The was a discovery only a 3 weeks ago of three or four ancient volcanoes that are not even on the list of being of existing, actually.
Yeah.
There's no number and no name for these volcanic possible volcanoes, and they started pushing steam through cracks in the earth in Oregon 1 week ago. And another last point, I'm going to sign off with this because I don't know how much time we have left.
Oh, don't worry if we go a couple minutes over.
Okay.
We do
all
have
right.
a guest that's been waiting to ask a question, so go ahead.
Okay, well,
and
hold
then
on
we'll,
one second because I want to get this
question in.
I want to get this part out. Yellowstone, it was just announced again a couple of weeks ago, and this is new stuff, that Yellowstone, the big cauldron that's boiling underneath that what they call the caldera that's on Yellowstone that they worried about for 100 years, that if it blows, it's going to really do a number, you know, block the sun for 100 years or 10 years or whatever. All right? They discovered that underneath that caldera is another caldera that is 400 miles deep. Now, I'm not saying deep as in below the ground. I'm saying in length. And it is so big, the secondary caldera in Yellowstone, it's so large, it would fill the entire Grand Canyon, length, width, and depth, 11 times.
Have your spiritual house in order, people.
So, do you have a question or something from somebody you wanted to ask?
Yes, let's get this caller. Welcome to the call, Arizona. Do you have a question for Bob?
Yes, I do. First of all, I just want to say this has been an extraordinary experience for me listening to all this. This is what I think. I think that there have been ancient civilizations that have had the technology we have now and have been destroyed by Nibiru.
Very, very likely.
Probably that Babel, the Tower of Babel, they talk about in the Bible. And then, of course, the floods of Noah. And they have all that technology now, again. I understand that they can melt, literally melt rock. And people are wondering how they can create these massive underground facilities.
Well, let me interrupt you briefly, Al. Most of it is literally being done by drills. And we have pictures of all of them, including the ones in China. And they are so huge, you will be blown away when you see them. But we have pictures, literally, of those. They do have a laser mechanism. If they go through softer ground, that they can laser the sides of the hole and crystallize it to solidify and melt it together so that it won't collapse behind the drill. Okay?
Right.
So, okay,
right.
But go ahead now. Complete what you were saying.
Well, what I'm wondering is, you know, in Revelation, it talks about wormwood. Do you believe that Nibiru is wormwood?
Yes. Yes. And you have to understand, there's been several cultures that have described it over a period of 4,000 years, actually. And they all, for one reason or another, had a different name, and it was because of either their own best description of what they were seeing or what took place. Like I said, the Chinese called it the visiting planet. They also called it the flaming dragon. Another one called it the Nibiru, planet X. Wormwood is a description in the Bible. And yes, that is, in my opinion and the opinion of people that know more about that than I do, is that, yes, that also is the name for Planet X, yes.
Okay. Just very briefly, is what the Bible says is that the end of all things as we know them, in other words, there's not going to be another chance.
Well,
this visitation is going to be it.
Well, okay, now, and I will say, let me say this, all right, and this is just an educated opinion as from getting into this as far as I had. The bottom line is I don't know that it's the end of time. I don't know that, but I'm going to say that it's going to be the end of an awful lot of what's existing at this time. So whether it's the end, and all lights are off, and that's the end of it completely, I, for some reason, I don't think it is. But I think if you have 70, 80, 90% of everything destroyed on the globe, that's about as close to a termination as you can get. And then it would potentially rebuild again.
Right. Now, are these people that are underground, are they really going to survive, or are they building their own tomb?
Well, who knows? They don't know. We don't know. I think, like I said earlier, if you had opportunity, if you were of their mindset and didn't care about anybody else, and you had somebody else's money to do all this with it, you would give it your best shot, and that's the way that is. There is one possible, and maybe this would be good to point to sign off on, so to speak. They are fooling around with, they're not fooling with it, they're very serious, with the, they have completed a weapon called the particle beam, originally the concept from Nikola Tesla stuff, and they have the particle beam, which they are trying to appropriately put into an air spacecraft called the X-37B, as in boy, and the idea is they may be able, if they have enough of these, to simultaneously smack this thing with a particle beam from several directions, that they can possibly vaporize it small enough that it would not become 10,000 small pieces hitting the Earth. They are, that's their hope. That's plan B. Plan A is get underground and cross your fingers. Then plan B is to try to vaporize this thing with particle beams. I don't know if they have enough of them. I don't know if they have them secure enough to work, but they are working on it, and if it happens, that'll be good for everybody. If it doesn't happen, then it's beside the point.
Okay, well, thank you for your questions, Arizona, and we are a little bit over the scheduled time. I want to thank you so much, Bob, for coming out here tonight and sharing with us excellent information. Before you go, real quick, why don't you give out again the information on how to get your DVDs for those that want to try to get a hold of you.
Okay. All right, fine. You folks that have access to the computer, just go on BobFletcherInvestigations.com. BobFletcherInvestigations.com. Those of you that wish to drop me a note to get a catalog or order up the DVD that's called Incoming, you can send it to Bob Fletcher at Box 216, Bayview, Idaho, 83803. That's 216, Bayview, Idaho, 83803, and it's $24.95, 4 hours, two discs. Everything is explained and clear as a bell when you get it, and we pay for the shipping. You've got to get this DVD if it's the last thing you do, and it might be.
Oh, that don't sound healthy.
I told somebody the other day, I did a program, and then I said, other than that, everything's fine. God bless everybody, and it was a pleasure being on. Take care.
Thank you, Bob. And you take care, and bless you and yours, too.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, tonight I am going to close out with my closing bumper song, and tonight we are honoring the great, late B.B. King. And he was one of my favorites. So it's a little bit long, but I just love this. So let's get it started. And I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Guess what, you guys? I'm going to be out here Wednesday night with Terrell again. And we're going to delve into his book and his 5 years of research on 9/11. And we're going to talk about the elite. And I'm sure he's going to update us a little bit about the earthquakes and volcanoes and the Black Star. So anyways, join me Wednesday night, 9 p.m. on Wednesday, same window, 43503. Hope you enjoyed the show. Everybody have a blessed weekend and a blessed week. And remember, Bad Baby loves you.